I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
Woo!
Hey!
How are we doing, everybody?
Good.
Great. See, Nicole knows what's coming. Autumn, you don't know what's coming.
No, I'm very excited about this, actually.
You're excited because you haven't actually been a part of it. You haven't had to experience it.
No, so now I take so much pleasure in these kinds of stories.
Yeah, see, Autumn knows that I'm going to regale you all with... I don't even know if this is too famous. There's a significant lesson here, but it is coupled with a bit of a too famous, I think.
Let's hear it.
All right, well, here's what happened. So I have to preface by saying, by the way, that my new showrunner, Brian, is in the studio today. He wanted to get a feel. Say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
There we go. Brian's in the studio today. He wants to get a feel for the podcast. So I thought we'd warm him up nice and nice and slow with a, you know, a little reflective story, an anecdote, so to speak. But I do think it's a bit too famous. Here's my question. Does anybody here have, like, something they do, and I think compulsively is the wrong word, but I would say, oh God, like you're driven to do it. It's become part of the...
Compulsive?
I think it's the wrong word, though. Not necessarily compulsive. Like, I am driven obsessively to... I don't want to say rescue, because I'm not... But it is rescue. To rescue creatures. Like, it's brutal. We now have... And I like to blame it on Heidi... But I think we all know that that's actually bullshit. That's actually me that's doing this.
It is.
And we've gotten to a point where I have 5 horses and 1 pig, 3 dogs, okay, 6 chickens, that is Heidi, mm-hmm. Bees, hold on a second, there's more creatures, 2 parrots, uh-huh.
Fish.
Oh, fish. Yeah.
I don't know if I would call a fish a rescue pet.
Well, not all of them are rescues, but, I mean, most of them are.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my shrink, and I was like, I don't know if I'm having, like, a midlife crisis or what, but, like, I just find myself longing for 35, when I was 35. And he's like, well, what do you think it is? And I was like, I don't know if it's age that's freaking me out, or, but I just, I'm like... And I just finished the beach house, right? We have yet to move in, but I just finished it. It was a 5-year project. And the farmhouse is just, oh my God. It's like, It's like a bomb went off in there. It's filthy dirty. There's hair from every animal under the sun, and we clean it twice a week. It stinks like animals. It stinks like my kids, who are pretty close to animals these days. And it's like, you know me, I'm compulsive. I like things clean. You can't have nice things around children, by the way. Do you know what it means to have kids? It means watching everything that you've ever earned, loved, and cherished be systematically and slowly destroyed in exchange for cuddles. Which, by the way, you know, is... it's just enough, but barely so, you know? So, I mean, barely so.
And the dogs.
You know, yeah, exactly. So we just finished the beach house, and I'm looking at this house, and now I'm like, I don't think I can handle having anyone live here. I might have to sell it. Because, like, I took my son to go see it the other day, and we've got this glass staircase, right? I don't even want to tell you how much this thing cost or what it required to put it in. And he... the first thing he does, got boogers all over him and snot and slobber and sticky and schmutz and, you know, three-year-olds, right? There's just crap all over them everywhere on their hands, their face. The first thing he does is take his hands and drag them all the way down the glass. And I am dying inside. I'm like, don't touch the glass, honey. Don't. And honey's like, he'll fall. I'm like, that's okay. Like, I literally, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to handle this. And meanwhile, I built both kids like a dream room, right? Like, my son has this little sailor room with a sailboat bunk bed and, you know, shark sheets and, and like my daughter has a princess bed, and like these kids are not spoiled. Like, every other room, it's like we just put them where we can put them until whatever house is being finished, or we're constantly transient.
Yeah.
You know, we've never really done anything special. And you know, for the first year of my son's life, he lived in our walk-in closet.
I walked in and I was like, is that a crib?
Yeah, in the walk-in closet. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a bedroom at the city house. He didn't have a bedroom because it was a study, an open study, no walls, all open, Lou's room. Yeah. Our room and the closet. You didn't have a bedroom while we were redoing the farmhouse.
That closet was bigger though than my first studio apartment in Koreatown when I moved to LA. So,
think of that for him as he grows up and gets into therapy, that his two queer moms put him in a closet for the first year of his life. So, I mean, I'm hoping he doesn't remember this, to be honest. And then when he brings it up and feel like I'm claustrophobic, I'll be like, oh, honey, I don't know what you're talking
That's
about.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. What? Huh?
Where'd that come from?
I wonder what that came from. Yeah. I'll just make him feel crazy like my parents did to me. So anyway, with that said, I realized that the reason that I'm like, you know, I thought, God, when I was 35, this would have been the house. It would have been me in this super clean house. And I had one dog. I had one horse. It was just me. And life was so easy. And he's like, I don't think it's age. I think it's that in the last 6 years of your life, you have taken on so much, you know, and I do sometimes I feel like it's freaking Noah's Ark, man. I'm like we're adrift at sea, you know, in this biblical flood, and there are these, you know, we keep coming across these creatures, and I'm like, scoop it out, get it out of there. And the next thing you know, it's five horses later, three dogs, two birds, fish, and so anyway, I just, it's overwhelming. It starts to just feel overwhelming. And he's like, you know, Jill, he's like, you are identifying with the have-nots to such a degree that you're starting to truly bury yourself. Like, you're no longer able to really even take care of yourself. It's starting to... I spend an hour every day preparing food, and the morning and at night, for all of these living, breathing creatures. And I will include my kids in those two things because that takes me some time too. And it's become like a full-time job. Like, my mom stayed over one night to watch the kids, and you have no idea what she went through. And I laid everything out. I marked all the food. I pre-measured everything for every creature. When we came home, she was at the door with her suitcase, ready to go. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Phew, gone.
So, I have watched you do that prep. It's quite a bit.
It's insane. It's insane. It really is. It's insane. I'm chopping vegetables for the pig for the week. It's bananas. So, you know, the foster bees, and then a stick got on one of the hives, and the ants invaded the colony and killed one of them, and the guy's out there, and it's a whole drama. And I can't even tell you. So then he's like, you need to come out here every day and check on the bees. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, really? And Heidi's like, we need to get a four-wheel vehicle. I can't get to the back of the property. So I'm like, am I really taking this on right now? So needless to say, Heidi has turned birthdays in our family into – at least a week-long affair. I'm ready to kill her. I'm ready to kill her. So, you know, for my son's birthday, it's like the birthday at school, the birthday with the grandparents, the birthday celebration, the birthday party. So I'm like, oh, you heard the Disneyland birthday, right, mm-hmm. on the last podcast. So it's now Heidi's birthday. And the first part of her birthday was her Costa Rica trip, which I regaled all of you on one of my two famous segments, the Costa Rica trip from hell. The second part of her birthday is that she wanted an evening away, just us, which is the time that my mom babysat the kids and wanted to die. Not because of the kids, because of the animals. And then the third one was dinner with friends. So we're on, and then the following day was her actual birthday, birthday number 4, with just us. By the time her birthday actually hit, I didn't even remember. I didn't even remember to say happy birthday because I'd been living her birthday for about a month. So what she wanted for birthday number 2 was to go to downtown LA for the night, right? So she wants to go to downtown LA for the night. And I'm like, all right, she wants to do like a little adventure, a little staycation. My mom's watching the kids. And there's nowhere to really stay downtown. So she decides to stay at the Standard downtown. I have to be honest with you. The only time I ever remember staying at the Standard was back in 2002 when it first opened. And what I recall is that you get so blitzed on the roof of this place that you stay there because you're so cracked out of your skull.
Yeah.
So, or jacked up on God knows what, wasted out of your mind. So this was before the days of Uber, though. So I was like, maybe it's changed. You know, that was 13 years ago. Maybe it's gotten better. People, you know, Uber home now. They don't need to stay at a hotel.
No.
So we go downtown. We have dinner at this little place called Redbird. It's super cute. And downtown LA, for those of you who don't live here, is really an enigma. Like, part of it is like this little mini New York, and it's really charming and cool, and there's a Starbucks and great restaurants, and then turn a corner, and you're quite literally on Skid Row. Like, you can buy a dime bag. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's scary.
I mean, like, you know, people are spitting heroin out of little balloons in their mouth. Like, it's, you know, woo! So I'm like, this is, you know, we're not quite okay. So we're walking around, and I'm a little sketched out, but I'm like, all right, so we go, and all I want to do is sleep on my little staycation. So to make a long story short, I'm basically living in a frat house for the night with drunk, blitzed kids, puking, fighting, screaming in the hallway at 2:45 a.m. I'm looking at Heidi. I'm like, I want to go home. Let's go home. We've changed rooms 3 times. She's like, no, let's just, we can get through this. Put your earplugs in. Okay. I get through the night. I want to die. I've slept maybe 4 hours. I would have gotten more sleep at home with my kids. So she wants to walk to breakfast at this really cute place called Bottega Louie and then walk to the Flower Mart. It's about a mile. And in LA, you don't walk. You don't walk anywhere. It's not a walking city. But in downtown, she's like, we can walk. Won't this be charming? It'll be like we're in New York. I'm like, what part of, you know, this really isn't New York. Have you failed to get? So we walk to breakfast and you know, people are like, there's vomit all over the street. You know, there's tons of homeless people everywhere. So I'm like, baby, maybe we shouldn't, you know, people are like, why y'all holding hands? I'm like, listen, you know.
Oh, God, really?
I'm like, and I get that, you know, we've had this talk before about the girl that wears no underwear with a really high skirt. Like, no one deserves anything that they don't, you know, say no to, but you're still inviting the devil. So I was like, we should be able to hold hands. It's our right. But when we get our teeth knocked down our throat, you know, maybe it's not worth it. And I was like, maybe not, you know, honey, maybe just. So now I'm like, okay, we're walking to the Flower Market. I'm like, keep a low profile, walk on the inside of the sidewalk. Don't look at me. Keep your head down. So, the next thing I know, we're on Skid Row and we walk past a pet store.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. Yeah, on Skid Row. And I'm just going, how is this possible? Like, look at Nicole's face. She knows where this is going. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, how is there a pet store here? This is so weird. And Heidi's like, don't do it. Please don't do it. I'm like, we have to go in. She's like, honey, keep walking. I'm like, no, we have to go in. Sure enough, we go in. There's like a few dying goldfish, some strange reptiles, a bunch of like dusty, filthy pet supplies. Here we go.
Oh, no.
Yep. And a parrot.
Oh.
Uh-huh. A rainbow-colored parrot. Like, one of the most beautiful parrots I've ever seen. The bird was called a Rosella. In a cage the size of a shoebox. I have a parrot. I know what parrots need. Parrots are really intelligent creatures, right?
Like, poor
they
baby.
They need, you know, they think about this. They have a pack mentality. They breed. They are foraging for food. Like, there's a whole social structure. It's like you cannot keep a bird that way. They go insane. They will pull out their feathers. They become mentally ill. They develop disorders. And I can tell this bird has gone insane. It's jumping from like perch to perch, perch to perch, perch to perch. It has like two perches. And I see this bird and I was like, why is, you know, this bird doesn't belong in this cage. To make a very long story short, I'm 99.9% sure someone smuggled that bird into the country, which you know a lot about this, Autumn.
I do. That's a big problem.
Yeah, because when we were traveling in Canada on tour, I took Bonsai, and they thought I was smuggling Bonsai into the country, and Autumn had to get fish and game at the border. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Well, Bonsai had a passport to leave the country, but Bonsai did not have a passport to return. So
bird had to have a passport.
She is also banned from further international travel after that.
But I remember thinking, like, who is the animal that's going to transport a parrot? Well, to make a long story short, people do. 90% of them die. They bind their wings, stuff them in Coke bottles, and fly them across borders, right? So I'm looking at this bird, and he's like, oh, yeah, who's totally wild. And I'm like, dude, what? Where did you? Oh, yeah, she's from a breeder. The bird was he. Was at least, you know, was a full-grown parrot. I'm like, all right. So, you know what we did.
Yeah.
We already know what happened. Now, I'm walking through downtown L.A. with a rainbow-colored parrot in a shoebox-sized cage, screaming its parrot balls off. After I told Heidi to keep a low profile.
Keep your head down. No one will notice.
Yeah. We come home with this bird who proceeds to scream for 2 weeks, to the point that, like, Nicole cannot even make a phone call.
It's worse than the kids.
It's screaming constantly. Aww. I'm trying to tame it. It's biting me. I've got, like, work gloves on. It's bouncing around the thing. I'm calling the pet store, and it's, like, it's screaming. My parrot is furious. Phoenix goes over every day. Bless his heart. And they've named him Mateo after the character in Paw Patrol, and Phoenix is like, Mateo, good morning, trying to talk to him. The bird is terrorized, and I'm on the phone with my shrink, and he's like, look, of course, you look what you're doing. You're doing this to yourself. Look what you're doing. And I'm like, but I couldn't leave him there. I can't leave him there. And what I did decide to do, and it was really hard to do it, but I called Omar's Parrots, right, where we take Bonsai to get her wings trimmed and her nails clipped, and we did all this blood work. He's not sick. He's fine. And they took him, and they're like, we're going to rehabilitate him, and we're going to put him in it with an owner who has an aviary.
Awesome.
Which, you know, letting go of that, letting go of control of that situation, not knowing where that bird's going to land, makes me insane. Like, totally out of control and panicked. And I'm like, I didn't want to go through this for nothing. I need to make sure he's okay. I need to know where he's going. If it doesn't work out, call me. I'll take him back. He can't end up with the wrong person. I don't want him to be, you know. But I just thought, my God, like, when did I get so effed up that, like, you know, I can't even, like, I've buried myself in this. How insane is this? Like, how, and my shrink is like, this is about you identifying with the, quote, have-nots. Like, you're projecting your own neediness and loneliness into these animals. And you're not playing this out in the right place. You're not working out these issues where you need to be working them out. And I'm like, but you can't say that to me. Like, how can I walk away? How can I turn a blind eye? I can't do it. Someone has to step in. And he's like, this is also your lack of ability to deal with being helpless in the world.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it. I can't handle it. And he's like, you're not God. You can't save everyone. You can't save everything. And I know this theme, but instead of getting better, I appear to be getting worse. Worse. Autumn,
I don't know what to say.
Do something.
That. I mean, I think he's
do you
right.
Do
I
this? Do you have? Does anyone else have this? Is there something that you do where you bury yourself in your issues?
Absolutely. Well, I
and
mean,
then
the
you wonder, like,
me.
How did my life get like this?
Yeah. Or I just sit on the couch and cry at all of those commercials. ASPCA.
Oh my God.
Why are they beating me?
Yes.
Why won't they feed me?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Like, I have a little rescue organization that's here in Canyon Country.
You're right.
The Gentle Barn.
Oh, I love that.
I love the Gentle Barn.
Yeah.
And They're an animal rescue rehabilitation center. They take anyone and everyone. And, like, I donate to them. I've gone up there to visit a couple times. They do little open houses, but I think it freaks some of the animals out. So I feel...
Yeah, I hear you.
I'd rather give them my money. I don't need to pet the goat. You know? I mean, I would love to, but, like, not at the expense of all of these people coming and, like... want to touch all the animals. I think it wigs them out a little bit. I'm happy.
Farm sanctuary. They've got a place like that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the older we get, too.
I'm getting worse. I'm not getting better.
Do you
know how therapized I am?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my God. And I read this article about a woman who, it was called The Child I Didn't Adopt, right? And she was a social worker. She didn't adopt this kid. And to make a long story short, he ended up dead at 18. And I was like, we can do it. We can take another. And Heidi was like, and not to say children are rescues, but I'll be honest with you, like seeing children in foster care, kids without parents, like take a dog in the pound and multiply it by a million. Like it destroys me.
Yeah.
So I either shut down to it and I can't think about it. I can't deal with it. Or I'll be Mia Farrow. Like I can't handle it. And Heidi was like, honey, we have two kids that need us. We're not able to fully understand, manage, and parent the two that we have. The sibling rivalry is off the chain. You work all the time. You know, you're spread too thin. Like, we can't do this right now. And I'm like, we need to. And then there's the guilt of having so much and feeling the need to share it. And I'm like, all right. And she's like, we can't do this right now. Maybe in a few more years we can take this on. But right now we can't do this. And it will start to compromise the two kids that we have that already are not getting as much as they need from you, you know, that they want you at everything. They want you there all the time. And, you know, you're traveling for work. You think you're ready to take on a 6-year-old? You know, you're still trying to figure out how to parent these two that you have, which
right.
is true. And I guess I just wanted to kind of throw this out there to everybody and say, look, you know, if you are doing something in your life that is starting to really greatly impact the quality of your life, maybe you need to look at what's driving you. I think we sometimes forget that we're creating this. And we think, like, we become martyrs and we become victims. But what we don't appreciate is the role we're playing and why we're playing it. Maybe you need to look at the things that are drowning you or burying you or overwhelming you and ask yourself what you're doing to create these things and subsequently why you're doing it while taking steps to streamline it. And, like, we have one rescue horse, same thing that I'm just not a good enough rider. I got on her once. She reared up, knocked me off. I thought I was going to get, you know, really hurt. And our trainer rides her, but I was like, you know what? Let's find Charlie a home. I'm ready to find her a home now.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Let's find her a home. You know, Mateo, the parrot, the rainbow-colored parrot. Let's find him a home. Like, I'm ready to start letting go of these things and almost become like a halfway house for some of these animals. Because I've done so much, like, damage to my quality of life to a certain extent with all of these animals that I've almost broke myself. I've almost gotten myself to rock bottom. I'm spread so thin and tired.
Yeah.
So I guess I just...
And when you hit that place, you're no good to
anybody. No, dude, you're not.
No.
You're right. And you're depleted. Then you're depleted. And, you know, your quality of life, when you're not happy, no one else can be happy. You can't enjoy, you know, life. People can't enjoy you. You're not modeling, like, a good example for your kids. And I was like, wow, this stuff in me is so deep. And I realized I got to just deal with the feelings in therapy instead of trying to fix it outside of myself. Like, if I rescue this animal, the part of me that felt abandoned will be healed.
Yeah.
Instead of dealing with the part of me that felt abandoned. So anyway, I could go on and on about this, but I just wanted to throw it out there because it's something that I'm working on, and I wanted all of you out there to think about it and see, you know, what you're doing in your own life and how you can work on it.
That's
you're
it.
Really
Thank
making
you.
Me excited to hit 30. Thanks.
Oh, honey,
oh,
it just gets worse from there. We've all had that brutal workout and been so sore the next day. Sometimes we turn to the messy, watery ice bags that are a complete pain in the butt and are awkward and don't stay on the muscles. We got to get up and walk around with an ice bag strapped to our leg. Sometimes we turn to that stinky, toxic garbage that leaves you smelling like a medicine cabinet.
There is a better way, guys. It's called Recovery Max. It's all natural. It comes in a cream or a spray. It's an Australian formulation that's made proudly in the U.S. It's the only product on the market with arnica to help reduce inflammation, emu oil, rosemary oil. As I said, it's all natural. It doesn't stink. It won't leave you greasy. It's not awkward like an ice pack. It's super effective. I think you're really going to like it. I know I do. You can go to drugstore.com to find it, or recoverymax.com, or you can also go to Amazon and search the keyword Recovery Max. Check it out. It is fantastic.
Can I show you a picture of what you look like right now? Can I show you yourself right now? Yeah. I'm totally going to tweet this right now.
Please don't.
I'm doing it right now. It's ears. Oh, look at me going on Twitter. I just found a reason to go on Twitter.
No, no. Don't go on Twitter yet.
To make fun of your friends.
Why? Well, you had a tweet earlier, so I didn't know if you wanted to.
Who is it? Who's it for?
Thrive.
Do you have a Twitter, Batum?
I never use it. It's just at Autumn Cook.
Oh, it is at Autumn Cook?
Mm-hmm.
At Autumn Cook. How come I don't follow you? I didn't know you had a Twitter.
I don't know, because I never, I mean, like, I honestly don't, not even sure if I know my Twitter password.
Oh, here you are. Look, there's just your eyeball.
Oh, yeah,
it's
that's
just
it.
A picture of your eyeball at Autumn Cook.
So is my Facebook one. Is that a theme?
Looking good.
What is she doing? I get hot. They get hot on my ears, so I have to, like, let it breathe for a minute.
It makes me feel like I'm underwater.
I like it. All right. Oh, no, I didn't put a thing in front of, if you don't put a period in front of their name, it doesn't work. Hold on. No one will see it. I got to delete it, and I got to do it again. I'm doing all of this on the... Guys,
that?
I'm tweeting, so this will be much later, but if you ever see a thing about Autumn... There you are, at Autumn Cook. This was weeks ago that you saw. This was... Because Autumn looks ridiculous, so I want to share it with you. But now you've just time traveled.
Pretty much how I roll most of the time.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna get a bazillion followers.
I love it.
Yeah, follow me.
Woo! What are we doing?
Well, I thought that we could talk about health hacks.
Producer shorts.
Health hacks. Items that you most likely have in your pantry, and if you don't, you should.
Oh.
So
I don't understand. Like, I get that she's got three of them on here that she wants me to talk about. Two, I do. But what's what's with the salt?
Why are you fighting me on this?
Well, why is it on here?
Epsom salt.
Why?
It's a dream come true. It is the cure of all things. No, okay, what? First, let me put a disclaimer on here, folks. We are not doctors.
I think they know that.
Just to cover our own Batums.
Why is this on here?
Please consult your physician.
Anti-inflammation remedy that can be used to treat dry skin, sore muscles, small wounds. I do know that it treats small wounds.
Don't
salt is major. It's a
wounds.
Major antibacterial.
Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to bathe in Epsom salt? Or
you
soak
can
your feet
bathe
in
Epsom salt. You can take in Epsom salt internally for diluted.
It makes
and
you go,
also makes you go
poopy
makes
shorts.
You go poopy.
Like big time, problem. Like explosive poopy pants.
Well, ooh, if you haven't gone in a while,
kaboom!
Maybe that's what you're looking for.
Kaboomski!
So
kaboom boom!
It's really
Kapowie!
High in magnesium, which is great for muscles.
Okay.
It's great as an exfoliant. You can mix it with your coconut oil, which
I like that.
That's nice.
Coconut oil is a big one. Antimicrobial.
Right.
Oh, that's a good one for the cabinet health hack.
Mm-hmm.
We cook with coconut oil. You know what is a great thing for all the mommies out there with babies who have cradle cap or baby acne? Coconut oil with a little baking soda is a fantastic anti-cradle cap. We use it on Phoenix, work like a charm.
Coconut oil is an antimicrobial.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it is. I like this.
It's
okay,
awesome.
So it's an exfoliator. Oh, mm-hmm. Is this going to be in Bottoms Bombs?
This is going to be in Bottoms Bombs.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Does coconut oil expire?
God, I'm sure it does.
I think.
Yeah, it'll go rancid.
I mean, it
like
does.
Everything
it's,
else.
It says on the... But, there's a date on there. It lasts for quite a long time.
Because I just cooked with it with my brother, and then we looked at the jar after we ate, and it said 2013.
Trust your nose.
It didn't smell bad or anything,
it's
though.
It's fine. I mean, look, they have
they
to put
rancid,
expiration date. It can.
Olive oil can go bad, too, and you want to keep it out of the sun.
But you can...
Stinky shorts.
You can smell it. Trust your nose with most. That's the same with most products. And my friend actually used to work at a grocery store in high
school. It's a great antifungal, though.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we use it in loose hair. We put it in the dog's food. It's great for it's great for energy, medium chain fatty acids. Awesome for energy. I remember when I first got behind coconut milk and everybody was like, oh, coconut's a saturated fat. Now all of a sudden everyone 5 years later is like, oh, that health food, coconut. I'm like,
yeah.
Really? Okay.
Everyone's starting to figure it out.
We've switched topics. Okay, keep going on your own.
The Google Box. Sorry, real quick. The Google Box says it can last up to 8 years.
Oh. Yeah, so they have to.
What's the Google Box?
Google.
It's called the Google Box?
Google.com?
Like I Googled it. Is that what
millennials are calling Google? The Google Box?
I call something else the Google Box.
I still call it Asking Jeeves. But that's...
Oh my God.
It's old.
One's a pervert, one's a 10-year-old, one's 35, and then there's me who's just out to lunch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Great.
Okay. All right, Epsom salt, folks. You have it in there. If you don't get some, you can order it on Amazon in bulk quantities. When you buy it at the drugstore, it's a little bit more expensive. It's not expensive.
Helps prevent hardening of the arteries? Come on.
It's amazing.
If you drink it, I think you got to be super careful drinking this stuff, though.
You absolutely
to your doctor,
need to be
boy,
careful
oh
about
boy.
Drinking
it. Yeah, you want to be... Talk to your doctor about how much of this... Because I know, like, vomit shorts.
But soaking in this bath...
Helps prevent hardening of the arteries.
You
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Magnesium and sulfate. Oh, it's the magnesium. Yeah, magnesium make you go... Got to be so careful.
Absolutely.
With that.
But if you've had a hard workout or you're not sleeping well, take a magnesium bath before you go to bed.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see some positive things.
All right.
So then we're going to move on to our friend turmeric.
This one I take.
This is a friend of Jillian's.
Every day. But here's the one thing about turmeric. I know a lot about it. First of all, it stains your teeth. So brush your teeth.
Brush your teeth with coconut oil.
Yeah.
And baking soda.
Good one. I actually went to the dentist to get my cleaning. And she's like, what are you eating that's yellow? And I was like, are you kidding me? And she's like,
what?
Yeah. I mean, she was able to get it off, but I was like, turmeric every day. And she's like, yeah, uh-uh. So, you know, there are different ways of doing this. You can juice it and put it in a shot. You can boil it. You can, a million ways of taking it, pills. You can eat it in your food, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's the bioavailability is not great for turmeric. That's the only thing. I've actually been working with a biochemist again, on reformulating a new supplement line, and I was like, I want to get into like antioxidants and like all these superfoods, and she was telling me, she's like, you know, the only issue that I have with turmeric is it's the bioavailability is challenging. So one of the things that makes it more bioavailable is black pepper,
okay,
olive oil, and actually ginger, which we'll get to next. So what I do with it is I'll mix it in to a shot with cayenne pepper, black pepper, put a little olive oil in it and do it that, and then brush your freaking teeth, man, right away. So anyway, yeah, go ahead. Would you like to read off your list here, Stinky Bottom?
I mean, I will.
Go ahead.
Please feel free to interject.
Oh.
So, you know, the top 10 health benefits of turmeric. Helps prevent cancer.
Yeah, big
turmeric can help prevent prostate cancer. It can stop the growth of existing prostate cancer and even destroy cancer cells. It's also been used as a preventive effect against tumor cells such as T cell leukemia, colon carcinomas, and breast carcinomas. It's a
friend
big
of mine
one.
Had ovarian, and her doctor, I mean, mind you, she did the, you know, all the Western stuff as well, but he was like, from now on, supplement with turmeric.
Yeah, and I love it. I mean, when I used to drink those shots at your house and even at home, I've been juicing and making my own little shots, and I've been including that into my diet, and
nice.
I feel better.
I like it.
If you have problems with arthritis.
Big anti-inflammatory. Yeah.
This is really going to be helpful if you are a diabetic or on the verge of becoming one. Turmeric says it can be used in the treatment of diabetes by helping to moderate insulin levels. Also improving glucose control and increasing the effect of any medications that you're using to treat your diabetes,
which is great. Like it, good.
Obviously, consult your physician.
Good one. Immunity booster. We know this.
Immunity booster. Cholesterol reducer. Wound healer.
I didn't know that. Wait, do you put it on?
Turmeric is a natural antiseptic and antibacterial.
Oh, you put it
agent.
On the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, psoriasis. I didn't know that. You know what's also really good for wounds? We just talked about salt, but one of the things that I'll do is soak a cut or something in salt water, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then honey, raw honey. And so maybe raw honey with some powdered turmeric. Oh, look at us making these things. Bottoms wound salve. Ooh.
Yes.
Wound salve.
Elixirs by Bottom.
I love
And Jillian. I'm going to have to
I'll give you my little stamp of approval.
Weight management.
Okay, I like it.
Which is a good one.
Increases the flow of bile. Oof. You'd think that'd be a bad thing, but it says it helps break down dietary fat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, does that make you, like, poop easier?
I guess so.
I think it helps in the digestion of, because your bile's in your stomach.
Ugh.
So also what you're eating, you want a healthy bile production.
Huh. Oh, improves cognitive function. I like it.
Alzheimer's disease.
Digestion. I know it's really good for your liver. And you know what? Here's the thing. I've just discovered what I want my after this pregnancy book from hell is done. Oh my God. What a Herculean endeavor that's been. 3 years in the writing. But with that said, I wanted to do, I realized that the book I want to do after that is a book about aging. Anti-aging,
mm-hmm.
and because I've started to learn all this stuff about the liver, dude, that is the key. The
liver,
taking care of your liver. Oh my God, that's the key. That's why, like, when you look at somebody who's done a lot of drugs or who drinks a lot, holy for schlugging, they look 20 years older or they age really badly. The liver, taking care of your liver is everything.
Your liver is your friend, folks. Your liver is your friend.
Yep.
Which brings me to ginger. Well, so if we're at the turmeric, there's all kinds of ways to ingest this. You can use it when you're cooking, in stir fries, smoothies, warm milk, add it to a salad dressing. You can put it in a capsule, put it in a shot.
I like it.
Check out Pinterest. There's lots of ideas there.
Yeah.
The last one is our friend ginger.
Num num.
Ginger's awesome. Ginger, preferably fresh, but you can also get some of the benefits from the powdered form.
Can you?
A little bit. Not as much, but you can. So
I always juice it.
I do too. Yeah. I've been juicing a lot of ginger.
It's like a spicy shorts, man.
It's
Woo-wee! Whoosh!
But it heats you up. So it gets the blood flowing.
I like it.
It gets
things
moving. So some of the benefits of ginger are that it helps you maintain a normal blood circulation.
Good one.
If you're motion sick or nauseous, nauseated, ginger's great for bellies. That's why at some of our little hippie eateries, you'll notice that there's always ginger candies at the checkout rather than like a peppermint.
You know, it's also
ginger helps with digestion.
I'm just really remembering in Slim for Life, there was a tip about ginger chews and anti-inflammatory, like after for delayed onset muscle soreness. I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. For DOMS. I'm telling you, dude.
If you feel a cold or a flu coming on, ginger is awesome. And they say that you want to steep 2 tablespoons of freshly shredded or chopped ginger root. I have a little zester.
Oh, I like it.
That I zest my ginger on, which is quite nice. So you don't get the big chunks.
Good for morning sickness, too. I did learn something after 3 years of writing this book.
Yeah, excellent for morning sickness.
Oh, dear God. 3 years. I want to die. I'm never going to get through this. Anyway, go on.
No.
I've spent like a week just dealing with the diastasis recti. A girl, had 10 different doctors. What a nightmare. I can't even. Anyway, sorry. Look forward to reading this one, ladies.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Woo!
So stomach discomfort. And most of us know, and if you don't, you should know that if you're taking aspirin or ibuprofen every day, it really does take a toll on your stomach.
Yeah.
It's not great for you.
Ibuprofen's really bad.
Really bad.
Totally,
Never, ever, ibuprofen, ever take it on an empty stomach. Please eat.
Yeah.
There needs to be something in there because it's really destructive to the lining.
Did you understand my Spanish just there when I what I said?
Muy mal.
Yeah.
Muy mal. Very bad.
Yes.
Very bad.
That's right, white girl.
Colon cancer prevention. Again, I mean, join up your friend turmeric and your friend ginger. That colon is going to be clean and healthy.
Without sticking a hose up there. Don't
do
that.
That's don't so
do
bad.
That.
That's
don't
really bad
do
too.
That.
You know, you get your pain and inflammation, common respiratory problems. If you're starting to get a cough, ginger really helps to break up what's happening in your chest. It helps expand the lungs and loosen the
phlegm. You're boring me now. I'm bored.
Okay, well, that's it.
What if we just say, like, get ginger?
One last thing.
Oh, God.
Ginger powder. If you're in a hot ginger bath, that's it. Pour the ginger powder in the hot water. Take a bath.
Oh, God.
You'll sweat your ass off.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay, it's Varidesk time. What I really want to know is why the studio isn't retrofitted with Varidesks. I have one at home. Who do I need to call? Jake? What's going on? Why do I care about this, you ask? Because I could be burning 1.5 times the calories by standing
instead of sitting on my butt all day long, which is not good for me. Yeah, no, my butt is spreading. I feel my butt spreading. If you feel your butt spreading, that is no bueno. Go to varidesk.com, varidesk.com, and check it out. They will retrofit your existing desk with fully adjustable desks to make your current desk a stand-up desk, people. Models start at $275. It ships fully assembled. It is a piece of cake, and it is one of the best things you can do for your health. When you think about how much that accumulates over the course of your lifetime sitting all day long, I could go on and on, but I won't. Varidesk.com. Do it. Okay, we're back, and I've got Schmander on the phone from home.
Hi.
Tales of the Baby Chronicles. Hi, Booger.
Hi.
How's the little Booger?
So good.
And what's the little Booger doing? Is it sleeping?
No, with Daddy making lunch, so it's perfect.
Oh, good. Yeah, pawn her off.
Yeah.
So, Mama, we are calling you because I want to do the sunscreen segment that you sent.
Yeah.
And I really like it. And so I've got a couple different articles. Autumn pulled one, and then I read the link that you sent me.
Yeah.
So do you want to launch? I thought maybe you could introduce this and tell everybody what our segment is about right now.
Yes. There's so much going on about sunscreen. Like, and as I've been learning about what to put on the baby, whether you should, everything was coming up about age and stuff and then appropriateness. But then it kind of led to the realization that there's some people out there, dermatologists included, that believe that sunscreen is worse than just covering up completely. And then that led to the different types of sunscreen and what, like, is a hot and not product to use. And it's quite incredible how there's a difference between philosophies of very educated people. So it kind of led to more confusion for me, but what I learned is that total coverage using clothing and then zinc and other kinds of blockers are better than the chemicals, which is another type of sunscreen that actually displaces and doesn't allow your body to chemically absorb the UVB. And they say that that's worse.
So here I pulled this from your piece. So it says there are two kinds of sunblockers, the physical kind, like zinc and titanium dioxide, and the chemical kind, like oxybenzone and its many cousins. And it says they work in vastly different ways. The former blocks or scatters the sun's rays, literally, which is kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
And the latter, the oxybenzone, absorbs, apparently, absorbs the sun's rays and keeps it from going on your skin. And then they say that the best is what you said, the zinc one, but in nanoparticle form.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no. The first surrounds. Hang on. I better not get this wrong. Hold on. Okay.
Oxybenzone is a nanoparticle, apparently.
Yes, nanoparticle is bad. Yeah. Right. Okay, so nanoparticle bad. Because they say that the nanoparticle chemicals can get into, are transdermal, can get through your skin into your bloodstream. So we want, okay, so the, hang on, I want to make sure I get this right.
And then it also says it can cause inflammation, a marker of cell distress, and it has been linked to terrible things that happen in the body, including aging, and then the worst case scenario, cancer.
Oh, God. And endocrine issues. And,
yep.
And you know what else I've been reading on an environmental level? Here's, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I went to Costa Rica, they're very environmentally conscious and savvy there.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were doing this rappelling down the waterfall, and the guy was like, look, it's super shady. You don't need sunscreen here. And I was like, funny, why would you say that? And he's like, look, it's polluting the hell out of our water. It's killing the indigenous, the frogs, the this, the that. And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been reading more and more about it, about how, you know, it's polluting the oceans. It's killing the animals. It's extremely toxic. And then Andy sent me this article, and it talked about how we've been completely blocking the sun's rays and depriving ourselves of vitamin D.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we've had Dr. Van Hurley on. We know how important vitamin D is for fighting cancer, bone density, energy, anti-aging, immunity, all of these things. So, Andy, tell me what the... So here's our conclusion, right? Which one of these sunblocks do we want exactly?
Okay, so 80. Listen to this. 80% of the 1,700 products tested by the Environmental Working Group Sunscreen Guide for 2015 were found safe, ineffective, or both. And so basically their conclusion in essence is that the sprays and the powders are not good.
Okay.
So the ones that are aerosol are not good because they have the additive oxybenzone and retinopalmate. And so, unfortunately, they get on the hall of shame. So, you know, the labels that you find at your local drugstore and your grocery store, those ones are not good. And then they also say super high SPF because it doesn't guarantee to block. Apparently, it causes, like, it can cause more damage than it does because people have more liberty to stay out longer, and it actually exposes you to the sun. And then it's an efficacy doesn't last as long as they say.
Got
so that
it.
Was the other one.
Okay.
And then the other one was saying that you skip the chemical sun production altogether, so that all the chemical sunscreens that have the oxybenzone and all that really can leach into your bloodstream. So they just advise you to just do total blockage mm-hmm. with the zinc or cover up. And then the other one was that vitamin D, they recommend when they say to get vitamin D, dermatologists are saying you can stay actually in the sun for 3 to 4 minutes only, and it gives you the sufficient amount of vitamin D.
How often though, buddy? Was it like 4 times a week? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was 4 times a week, and they said just depending on where you live in the world too has different amounts.
Of course.
And they said, you know, it's really, you can't have an all catch advice for people, because some people that are closer to the equator get higher amounts, and then other people who live northern, you know, so I guess it's a matter of just, and they also recommended that you get it through fish and eggs, and you also get vitamin D through that way as well. So they're just kind of saying common sense, and avoid the chemicals like we do in our food.
I always use zinc as a sunscreen, and it's because I was prone to getting melasma. Like, which is hyperpigmentation, and they said the only thing that would help with melasma and is putting zinc on there. I look like one of those surfers when I go outside, or I wear a hat, quite honestly. And I also heard, like, you can go out in non-peak sun hours.
Yeah.
Dr. Van Hurley said, like, if you go out in non-peak hours, you can go out for, like, 15 minutes. I don't ever get it on my face, though, because I hyperpigment, like, instantaneously.
Yeah. Because even if you have SPF, if you're prone to freckles and stuff, even if you have it on, like you say, the hyperpigmentation,
instantly.
It will cause spots.
Yeah, instantaneously on my face.
Yeah, and I get freckly too, and ever since having the baby as well, like my chest is it looks like I was standing behind a screen door. So it's, you know,
standing
not
behind
cute.
A screen door.
Yeah,
I love
it's
it.
Not so cute.
You know what else? I read in the article that you sent me, I thought this was interesting, that African Americans are more prone to vitamin D deficiency because the melanin in their skin is like them having a constant 30 SPF. Which
so
is great, but,
oh, that must be nice.
But they need to supplement with vitamin D. And I would say, I remember when I got my last workup at Dr. Van Hurley's office, she said to me, she's like, you are deficient. And she would give me a little prescription. So the next time you go for your checkup, have them check your vitamin D levels. You might need a prescription. Yeah, she gave me a prescription to get back on track. And she's like, I want to monitor this. And I noticed, dude, it was also when I was eating like hardly any meat. I was also borderline anemic, and I was freaking exhausted. I was like, oh, my God, this is insane.
Yeah, those are side effects, too.
Yeah, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I could pass out in the middle of the day. What is going on? So now I use the zinc on my face. I get a little bit of sun. I try to use clothes to cover up mostly. But, and you know, if you're environmentally conscious, you know, keep all this in mind. We want to keep this crap out of our oceans and our rivers and all this stuff. So I love this one, Schmander.
I do too.
Thanks, buddy.
Good one. Good one. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.